Hello, everybody. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is you're listening to us. I'm Jason.
And I'm John.
Brother John, as always, he's going to say a quick little prayer for us. We'll get this thing started.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to come together, to worship you, to know you better, to think, just really spend some time thinking about you and discussing you, Father God. We want to come into agreement with each other and just kind of lift this whole thing up to you in prayer, Father God, that it's not about us, but that it's about you, and that you have a great plan for it. It's going to grow exponentially in ways that we can't even imagine. It's more than we could ever ask or think, Father God. And again, it has nothing to do with us. It's not about gain for us. It's about gain for you, Father. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was a good one.
Yes, sir. Feel it today.
I like that. I like that.
Me too. I got to talk about the concert. So we're recording a little early because I actually have a business trip this next week. Usually we record on Tuesdays. Today is Sunday. I'm leaving town Tuesday for training. Yay.
The big T word. It's almost like the S word. Safety.
You're right. Like
when they say safety training or safety meeting, it's
Great. Yeah. But we went to a concert this weekend with our other brother and sister, sister-in-law, I guess you would say, brother-in-law too, but to us, their family. Got to see Godsmack, right? Which anybody listening might think, wow, okay, that's not what we would expect. It wasn't what I expected either. And I think sometimes people get the wrong impression by a name. You know, they just assume things.
Yeah.
I think that happens a lot in music, especially, and just art in general. Look, I know Hollywood there's some shady things that go on in that sector of the world and all that, but I think the last bastion of real people and real art is music, and I think that will stay forever. And it came to be kind of a spiritual thing that happened while we were there, and, you know, I don't know what their beliefs are, and it doesn't really matter, but you can definitely tell that they believe there's something bigger than what they're just them.
Yeah.
The lead singer started talking about infinity, right? And I've told you about this documentary about infinity, and it started like really resonating. And then he started talking about how music is just vibration. It's just sound waves, right? Yeah. But how is it that he played an E chord, and he played it, and he said, you know, and that's a happy sound. Whatever it is, that vibration creates happiness within your heart, or, you know, it just makes you feel kind of a happy tone. And he said, all I have to do is move one finger, and it turns into a minor chord, which is just remove your pointer finger, and you play it, and it's a somber tone. That vibration creates kind of a somber feeling within you. And he's like, he's really relating that to that sound wave, that vibration, to like a spiritual thing, you know what I mean? Because you can't help but feel that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so it was really cool. It wasn't what they are normally at a concert. They even talked about it. You know, I know you might want to, like, see us blowing crap up and all that, which he said, we love doing that, but this isn't for that. This is something different. And it was really, really, really good. I appreciate them as a band a whole lot more now.
Yeah.
They were pretty flawless, man. They play phenomenally. And I forget the dude's Sully's last name. This lead singer, but that dude has such vocal control. He's in complete command of his voice that it was impressive.
Yeah.
I was very impressed.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That means it was a good show.
It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I taught our brother how to get to the front.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Fill the space in front of you. If there's a space, fill it. If there's a space, fill it. Every time somebody moves, you fill the gap.
Yeah.
And eventually we got to be closer than you and I are to each other right now to the stage, and it was pretty, you could feel the drums so bad it was moving your shirt.
No mosh pit?
No, there's chairs everywhere. They didn't have an open floor.
Oh,
it was actually seated, and it wasn't until the lead singer said, hey, you're not married to those seats, then everybody stood up and tried to get to the stage, you know what I mean? But they didn't move the chairs. Chairs were still there, so if you had a mosh pit, somebody getting hurt.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was really stinking cool. Had a really great time. You know, it's been a long time since I've been to a rock and roll show.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of cool bands, but
yeah, that's Godsmack's, that would be one that I would like to see. I mean,
again, it's not what I expected. You know, whenever at first I was like, oh, okay, Godsmack's going to be a metal show, like mosh pits and all that.
Yeah.
And then I found out that it's not – the tour itself is called the Vibes Tour, and it's not about that. It's not really – but and so I started thinking it was like an acoustic thing, like an unplugged thing. Well, it wasn't that either. Yeah. it just mellow. It was just, yeah, a little mellow, and it wasn't what people were expecting. Yeah. It wasn't the hard-driven stuff bouncing off the walls. It was really – it was really heartfelt. Yeah, you know, you could tell.
That's cool.
So anyway, it was a ton of fun. If anybody gets a chance to see them on the Vibes Tour, is what they're calling it. It's cool. It's that dude can do a lot. The lead singer, bro. Yeah. I mean, piano, bongos, harmonica, guitar. He can do it all. And he controls his voice.
Have you ever seen Kid Rock?
Yes, I have.
He's the same way.
Yeah, he can do it.
He'll go back there, kick his drummer off the drums.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and he'll start playing the drums. Then he goes and grabs a guitar, and then he's over there playing the keyboard. Like,
yeah, yeah, these guys are so talented musically. It's pisses me off, actually.
you got to kind of think, though, with that kind of talent, no wonder they made it to the spot that they are in.
Besides the talent, the effort, yeah. You know what I mean? They put in billions of hours doing what they do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I was talking about his vocal control, his ability to control his voice. You don't do that by accident.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's practice and practice and practice and practice.
Man, this is going to be way off kilter, but so, you know, we went to a new church today.
Right.
Just that sentence that you just said, that you don't do it by accident.
Yeah.
One of the key things that they were talking about today was you don't grow intimate relationship with God by accident.
Right. That's an excellent point, man.
So when you said that, and just that was the first thing that popped up. But yeah. He went off and talked about how, you know, all of David's issues, and how he was such a, you know, he was in control of, you know, he was a king. He was in control of everything, and yeah. His own son was trying to kill him, and mm-hmm. all this crazy stuff. Yeah. But he said David's success was strictly. His immediate recognition he needed the word of God. Or no, his immediate recognition he needed the intimate love of God.
Yeah, yeah. And you read through Psalms, and that scripture I shared with you the other day about why is my heart so sad?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's exactly what he's talking about, right? It's that he knew, like, I just need you right now.
Yeah.
And everything else is failing. I'm failing. Everything around me is failing. It
says, I thirst for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, that's an intense word.
Yeah.
Thirst.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You think, you know, I guess the Gen Zers call it thirsty. You be thirsty.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't get any of that.
I don't get any of that either. But, you know, but you think about it, thirsting for somebody, that's a need.
Yeah, you know that's a very, very intimate.
Yeah.
That's a personal... the very personal, intimate bond that you have with that person. Because
yeah,
I'm not going to quote it verbatim what he said, because I don't want to get in trouble for like plagiarizing it. But basically what he was saying was, I got a lot of really good friends.
Yeah.
And never have I told any of them, I thirst for you. Yeah. I long for you. He said, and we're really good friends.
Right.
He said, no, you say that for something bigger.
Right.
So yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I love you, bro, and I love spending time with you, but I don't thirst for you.
I'm sorry, but most of the people that I hang out with, if I said that to them, they're going to want to punch me in the face. You know what I mean?
They're like, bro, I think you're getting the wrong idea. Yeah.
You got a misunderstanding of what this friendship is.
Right? Interesting.
But, yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to take that.
No,
so
you know what? I think it's just kind of got my brain moving, because I am a little tired, you know.
Yeah.
We stayed up late last night at the concert.
Had a long drive.
Had a long drive this morning. Really, I've been home about 2 hours.
Yeah, and had to cook when you got here.
Well, I didn't have to do much. Terry did most of it. But and then you walk in with this fabulous tenderloin, and I bloated myself up with it. And
yeah, now we're all naps.
Now I'm like, ooh, shoo. So... if anybody wants to know about what we like food, beer, and conversations, and music.
Yeah, music. Yeah. So, love my wife, too.
Yeah, we like them to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know? So,
you talked to me a little bit
Friday when you were driving.
Yeah.
About kind of some of the stuff that you wanted to talk about, things that were kind of heavy on your mind.
Yeah.
One of them was judgment.
Yes. I think that there's a lot that can be talked about when we talk about judgment. I think judgment, we expect judgment from God, right? I think that's
what we're taught. That's what we're taught at a very young age.
Yeah. We're taught condemnation, right?
And we're taught, man, if you don't do this, you're going straight to hell. Like,
yeah.
If you know, as a little boy, like, if you lie to your mom or your dad or you steal a piece of candy, you're going to hell. That was, that's basically what everybody bashed into my head the whole time I was a kid.
That's sinful behavior.
Yeah.
And again, what they're doing, that transference that they're trying, what they're trying to tell you. And again, they're just trying to modify your behavior, right? Yeah. So I understand it psychologically, but they don't understand the depth of what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're damaging your relationship.
And that what they're doing is they're taking away your faithfulness in Christ.
Right.
They're taking away the faithfulness of what he did to save us.
Yeah.
You know, that very thing that he did, you know, him being crucified for us to take away our sins, that was for a reason. They're taking away the validation of that
when
they
do that. What did I say? I think I said it last time out when we were talking. I was talking about grace and unforgiveness of ourselves, basically talking about how, like, you're devaluing the blood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, yes.
You're taking out.
Yeah, you're taking away the value.
You're basically telling God and Jesus or whatever you want to say.
Sorry, that was for nothing.
Yeah, it means nothing. I'm too, my problems are too big.
Yeah.
My failures are too big for you. Are you freaking serious right now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Are you serious right now? Once for all time. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
He died once for all time for every single thing that you could do wrong.
So, we also talked about how living in doubt.
Yeah.
Kind of doubting, you know, like when we stumble on our path or whatever, we always feel like, oh God, man, you know, like, I'm not, like,
interesting that this is here.
I'm not worthy of this or whatever, you know, and it kind of drives a wedge between your walk with Christ. I mean, you really start to kind of get to where you're beating yourself up. You're living in the humane way, like you're relying on yourself to get in. Really didn't resonate with me until today. Just a couple of the things that guy was saying. When you said that last week that, you know, when we're doing that, we're relying on ourselves, and that's not the point. He kind of brought up a very interesting point today and kind of speaking about that. And his words were, give it to God, give ourselves to Christ, we are walking the way he wants us to walk.
Right.
So even though we may stumble, he brought up, David, being lustful and doing all these things and
a man after God's own heart.
Yeah, but he was still a man after God's own heart,
right?
And that's how God viewed him, or something along those lines.
Yeah. It is. It's the way he was described by Jesus.
And so it really wasn't until then that it kind of resonated with me. Like, okay, hey, I get it now.
Yeah,
I understand the Savior that we have and the how the penalty's already been paid.
Yeah. There's a scripture, though feet may fail, I think.
We got some new
merch.
This
is too. Psalms.
I was sitting there looking at your shirt. I had to throw that out there.
Oh, yes. Soon, we are going to start having it out there for people to purchase. The newest version of the shirt is really, really cool. Again, we got to thank Brittany for all of the hard work that she puts into it, that she's put into our logo. And she had the phenomenal idea to put our Spotify code on the sleeve.
Yeah.
I would have never thought to do that.
That's cool. That's the part that really gets me because, I mean, that's the first thing I did. Melissa was like, hey, you got shirts. I was like, yeah. And I was like, scan my sleeve.
So though feet may fail, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. You know what I mean? Think about just what is that saying? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's saying that, hey, you're going to stumble. You're probably going to trip.
Yeah.
but you can't fall because God's already got you.
Yeah.
Right? And we, again, we try to say, the sad thing is it's really easy for me to look at you when you do something, right, that you're kicking yourself over and go, bro, you are loved. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, bro. It's part of the process. It's okay you failed. I'm sorry, God. I'm going to move on. I'm going to be better next time. But then I do the same stupid thing.
And you beat yourself up over it.
Exactly. Why do we insist on this?
It's the same way for me. I can look at you and I'm like, dude, what are you tripping over? You know what I mean?
Why do we do this to ourselves?
Why are you like, this makes no sense.
Peter, this is the verse of the day. I don't ever like to use verse of the day stuff because I feel like it's cheating. I don't know why, but it just popped in, right? So Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died a sinner's death to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit.
Yeah.
It just made perfect sense to me. We forget that it also, man, it says it over and over and over again. If you're paying attention, again, we talked about if you're reading this book, how can applying the principles of this life make your life worse or harder?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no glory to live this way, right? It's hard. It is. The glory isn't for us anyway, but I don't know if I'm going to articulate this properly or not, but it's this idea that it's a flawed idea that's been given to us over generations that once you do this, you will never sin again. That's it. It's game over. You're going to hell. No.
Yeah.
Read it closer because I don't see that anywhere.
Yeah. Well, that's not the case because look at Mary.
Yeah.
Prime example.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Peter.
Yeah, Peter. Peter, I mean, basically denied he knew who he was three times.
Yeah. Right? And same book, Scripture says, deny me in front of thieves, and I will deny you in front of everybody before the Lord. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But yeah, he gave him a chance to redeem himself when he asked him if he loved him three times. I felt like that
too, because God's grace is big enough, right, to cover every. So he's going to give you that opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. Again, if you get to the end of all of this, and you never knew him, and he never knew you, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
If you get to end all of this and you knew him and
you rejected him
anyway, I hate to tell you this, man, but it's not going to end well.
Yeah. See, that brings up a very, very interesting question. We kind of talked about it a little bit when I first got into Bible study with you guys, and I know what happened. Like, if a baby's born and dies in a car wreck on the way home, you know, 3 days after being born or however long they have to stay in the hospital, it's been that long since I had a kid. I feel like that's an innocent being that has not yet committed a sin. You know what I mean? I feel like at that point,
condemn that.
Man. Yeah. But so a person, let's say 25-year-old person that was not raised in a house where anybody even really talked about God was, let's just say, you know, let's say Tom Cruise had a kid, for example. You know, he's a Scientology guy, and this kid never really got a chance to even get to know who God is. What happens then at, like, say, the age of 25, you know,
before something terrible happens?
I mean, I know what you're going to say. You don't have the exact answer for that. I know that's what you're going to say, but I mean,
I would tell you it's up to God.
Yeah.
But I would also tell you, like, I like to think that I know my God, and I don't think he's condemning anybody.
Yeah.
Under duress. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel like some of that stuff, man, because at that point, I mean, someone like that, they never knew who Christ was. I mean, they've heard stories or whatever, but they don't know. I mean,
here's the thing. I've said it before, man. We better get comfortable with not having all the answers.
Yeah.
It's okay to have questions, man, but sometimes you're not going to get the answer you want. Or you're not going to get an answer at all.
Yeah.
Like, you can't possibly know. But I think the reason that is it's a mercy, because your brain can't handle it. It's too much. Yep. You know what I'm saying? There's too much. Look, all I know for a fact is God loves you with an everlasting love. Yep. All of us. Every single one of us. Right? Every single one of us. He's not here to condemn us. He doesn't want that. He wants a relationship with you, right? And he wants what's best for you, just like a father, like a real father, not deadbeat dad, father. You know what I'm saying? Anybody can be a dad. Yeah. Not a lot of people can be a father, man. Yeah. That takes a real person, a real man, to be a father.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean we don't make a ton of mistakes. I've made plenty of them. Yeah. But, you know, and I think this conversation gets – It's easy to get squirrely, man, and I will never try to lie to anybody. I'm not going to try to put something out there if I don't know for a fact, or I can't point to Scripture and say, this is what I see. You know what I'm saying? So all I know is there is therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus, and if you haven't possibly had the opportunity to know him, then I don't think you can be condemned by him. That's just the way I see it. I don't know if that's fact or not. You would have to ask him.
Yeah.
That's his call.
Unfortunately, at this time, we have no means of being able to...
But it, you know what it does, though? It's coming back to that conversation about judgment. And I shared this scripture with you the other day. I was like, hey, man, maybe resonate on these scriptures. And it might help a little bit. You know, it might help kind of bring some of that to life. And here it is. This is about judging, right? In Luke 6:37, it says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven, right? That's in Luke. Matthew, for you will be treated as you treat others, and the standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Right?
Yeah.
Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a big old log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't even see past the log in your own?
Yeah.
First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. And it basically, what the reason I bring that up is like, it's not for me to judge.
Yeah.
It's not for me to judge Tom Cruise's Scientology beliefs either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not for me to judge.
The only reason I use that analogy was because that's something that a lot of people know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of was an easy way for me to explain it. I didn't really know kind of another character that's famous enough that could pertain to other than him.
No, and look, I get it. I'm just saying, like, in general, in general, like, it's not really for me to say.
Yeah.
Right? God makes that choice.
Yeah.
He's the creator. He's the one who gets the final say-so, right? He's the boss.
Yeah.
I know, but I can say what I know about the character of God. And the character of God is that he's patient and that he loves you and that he gives us as much possible space as he can give us in order for us to not fall, right, into that trap and to end up in condemnation. He doesn't want that for you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want that for me. He doesn't want that for anybody, right? And again, if you hear all of these things and you read through this little book and you still don't believe, that's okay. I get it. That's your right. You can do what you want. I love you anyway. I hope you change your mind.
Yeah.
But there is going to be a penalty at some point, right? Yeah. It's not punishment. It's your choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You can't get mad at the legal system for putting you in prison for something you weren't supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You made the choice. You're
running around murdering folks, selling drugs or something like that, and you get put in prison. You can't be mad at the police. You got to be mad at yourself. I mean, you're the one that made those decisions. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And it's not because they don't care about you. It's not because God doesn't love you. It's not because he's not fair.
It's just you
made the choice.
That's why we have free will.
That's right. And he wants you to have free will so that you can understand what he can have and you can understand what love really is.
Yeah. Yeah, because he could easily make us all love him.
Oh, yeah.
We could all be down here like drones, basically.
Just if that's what he wanted, he'd have done it.
Yeah.
I think he did, kind of, with the angels. But then half of them rebelled.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I think he created humanity.
Yeah.
But he has bigger plans. I can't, again, this is all, that's a conjecture. I don't know all of that, okay? That's just something that floats around in my mind.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
Interesting. It's interesting you say it that way.
Maybe that's why he created, because he did, well, you think about it, though, the angels and stuff came first. Yeah. All of that, the heavens, everything was created before man. Man was last.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then woman.
So hell was before.
I have to assume. There's no timeline telling me.
Yeah.
But I have to.
Well, yeah. So he, because.
The fall had already happened.
When God said, let there be light, and there was light. And
when Adam and Eve
were
here and created,
yeah.
the fall had already happened. But it's not directly addressed in the book, not in the book that we know today.
Yeah.
Is there texts somewhere? Sure, probably. There's a book called the Book of Enoch that talks a lot about it. It's not in the Bible. It's called one of the lost books of the Bible. A lot of people will ask, well, why wouldn't it be in the Bible? I can't answer that question for you.
Yeah.
I can't answer that question for you. You're welcome to read it, but be careful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's a reason it's not in there.
If God wanted it in there, I think it'd be there.
Yeah.
I don't think you can stop what God's will. I
mean, we can't just go add Jason and...
The book of Jason and John?
Yeah. We just can't just go add that to the Bible. I mean...
I want the book of Bumper Sticker Wisdom.
But you can't... There's a reason. There's a reason that it's not in there.
It has to be. I think it's okay.
Either the disciples or, you know, everybody disagreed with what was written in there and they refused to kind of.
Enoch is he is actually an important character in the story.
Yeah.
And he was actually somebody who didn't die. He ascended. He was ascended into heaven, right? He's talked about in the actual Bible that we have. And I saw a video one time about a guy talking about why it's not scripture. I didn't understand a word he was saying. I don't know. We would have to actually sit and listen to it. I don't even remember where I saw it. It's just, you know, anyway. It's not scripture because I think the reason it's not scripture because it's not tangible, right? Everything that's actually in the Bible you can find archaeologically, historically, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or you are actually a disciple. You were in an experience with God. You were there with Jesus. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's reasons why things are called the Bible and things are not.
Like Brad Stein kind of lays it out. Historians and archaeologists have used it to find things.
Yeah, and there it is.
And there it is. It's physically and accurately true.
Yes. So it's historically accurate, right? Yeah. So, yeah. And again, I think we're going into the idea of judgment. Listen to the first sentence on both of those scriptures is, it's not your responsibility to judge others.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own path to walk is kind of what I get out of that.
Yeah.
And
how hard is it, though, not to judge some people?
It's one of the hardest.
Yeah.
It really is, because that's where pride comes in, right? Because you want people to be where you are, and you want people to see it the way you see it. Because really, there's a reason why, because you had a revelation of God's love, and you have this, man, it's good over here. It's hard. It's not easy, but it's good. Just come over here. But if it don't fit, don't force it, man.
my biggest problem, and I don't even know if this pertains in the same way, but I judge people based on something that they're doing. Like, it's like, what are you doing? Like, look at this. What are you doing, stupid? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, and you're not alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was in a place. I won't tell you that I was being super Christian or godly behavior. You know, I hate when people say that. Like, oh, that's not very Christian-like.
Yeah.
You know. Well, you're right. Sorry, I still mess up, but you know. I could see an interaction between a man and his wife and be like, oh, what a jackass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know what the hell's happening. Yeah. I don't know what's going on over there. Maybe she's being a douche. I don't know. Yeah. You know, she's pushing his buttons and he's finally like, listen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It happens. I don't know. I'm in a relationship with a woman and they push your buttons sometimes.
Yeah.
I push hers too. You know, but. Again, I had a foregone conclusion. I had a judgment, and I'm like, you shouldn't treat her like that.
Yeah.
What do I know?
Immediately rush into the woman's defense.
I have a very bad.
Most men typically do.
Yeah.
Without even knowing the facts. That's why you see and hear a lot of the times about some kind of verbal confrontation may be going on between a man and a woman, and another dude butts in like, hey, you know, you need to calm down. And it instantly sets that dude off, because not only now you're making it an uneven or like
you're making him the odd man out now, and that's his relationship that you were forcing your way into as a stranger or whatever. And I watched God, man, I can't remember that kid's freaking name. I watched his dad. I was little. I watched his dad and God almighty. It's going to come to me as soon as we quit recording. Anyways, I watched his dad and my old stepdad get into it for just about the same thing. And I was kind of, at that age, I was really freaked out thinking that things were about to go way south. But, you know, I think both of them were just scared enough of each other that they didn't want to test that water.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, another thing I can say. Right. I talked about this cool concert and all this stuff, and you look around the environment and you see all this symbolism and you immediately jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, they definitely don't believe in God. And, you know, obviously me being who I am, you know, I'm not real comfortable with that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to put myself in those kinds of environments anymore. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Edric. That was his name. Sorry. It just is like, boom, lit up. Yeah. My mom's going to be listening to this and she's going to be like, Jason.
That was funny, though, because I'm in the middle of this thought.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Edric with an E, yeah.
But, you know, I started thinking, I was there and I'm looking around and I'm seeing all these people and you see the symbolism and. You know, again, I don't know these dudes personally. I don't know what their life is. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what their relationship with God is. And I'm kind of praying, and I'm kind of praying protection around myself because I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel like this is the environment for me. And somehow, some way, God brought me back to earth and was like, hey, slow down a minute.
Yeah.
Just remember, everything's not as it seems.
Yeah.
Right? Not everything is surface level. Yeah. There's a lot. Everything is way deeper than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's depth to everything. And look, yeah, there are these symbols that people assume are certain things, right?
Yeah.
God smack sounds negative, right, towards God. The star looks like, oh, that's satanic or whatever. Well, you don't actually know that. Yeah. Find out the truth first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, do you remember when Def Leppard had Pour Some Sugar?
Yeah.
My uncle used to scream and throw a fit about how it says break the bottle, break it up.
Yeah.
He used to swear up and down and said break the bottle, break it up. He's like, they're devil worshippers and blah, blah, blah. I was like,
I don't leopard? Think that's what it means. Same thing with like Kiss. I've never heard anything in their music to make me. They were like, oh, Kiss stands for Knights in Satanic Service. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah.
Listen to the music. Where do you hear that?
Yeah.
I want to rock and roll all night.
Yeah, sounds like two dudes or a bunch of dudes just wanting to have a good time. So it sounds like to me.
I hear, man. You know, same thing. You know, Ozzy Osbourne. You can just go down the line. You know, God.
Ozzy Osbourne got a little crazy with some of his stuff.
He did for a while, but you know what? Like, you look at him now. He talked. Like, whenever the whole Ozzy and Sharon and they had their little.
The Osbournes.
He talked about prayers and he has prayers and all that stuff, and he just has a different way of seeing things, right? That's the thing.
It is so funny to listen to him talk to.
You can't understand a word that man says. But
as soon as he starts singing, you can hear, you can understand everything crystal clear.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the guy that opened for Godsmack yesterday, his name was Bastian DeCruz. It's not who you would expect opening. God forbid, or for Godsmack. Trust me, listen to his stuff. It was his first time performing in the U.S. ever yesterday. Yeah, they flew him from Denmark, and he played everything all in acoustic, and he has a phenomenal voice, and it was good.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it, but those two bands are not, their portfolio is not even similar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not even close.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, I don't know. Again, when he would talk, he had this accent, but when he sang, he sounded like he was from Texas.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't even understand how that works.
Yeah.
You know, but again, just going back to that judgment, man, it's just, it's not for us to say. It's not for me to say. I don't know what these dudes think.
Yeah.
I don't know them, right? And that goes back to my primary
God knows them. God knows where their heart is.
Exactly. It's always about their heart, right?
Yeah. It don't have nothing to do with you. I mean, as long as you're practicing the right way and, you know. Here's another thing that really got brought to my attention today. You know, when parents discipline kids.
Yeah.
When they not physical, I'm not talking about beating the crap out of your kid. I'm saying like when you are trying to teach them the way you typically talk to them. So how kids learn is through your words.
That's right.
So what he brought up was if we want to learn how to be closer to God, we have to read his words. We have to hear his word. And the best way to do that is get your head in your Bible.
Yep. Did he use the scripture for faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God?
No, sir.
Oh,
just curious.
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to remember how everything, cause it like he talked really, really fast. And of course, you know how I am. I stutter my way through everything.
Right.
And, as we're talking, I'm remembering a lot of that stuff, man. But that one really kind of hit.
We were talking about judgment, and we kind of got off a little bit because we were talking about, like, a child who hasn't had an opportunity or somebody who grew up in an environment where
that was pretty
conducive.
Well on topic because we're still talking about
judgment. No. That's not what I meant, though. It's just kind of it skewed the conversation, right, to, like, it kind of changed the conversation just a little bit. And I shared this scripture with you the other day, and we all know John 3:16. If you're a Bible person, we all know John 3:16, right? But 17 is the one that I sent you. It's the one after, and it just says, God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him.
Yeah.
Right. It really is about just he wants to protect you. You know what I'm saying? He wants to protect all of us.
Yeah.
And, man, I think if we can learn to – two things. Number one, it's for us too, right?
Yep.
God's protection and love, the path, it's all for us too, as individuals, but it's for everybody else too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's for everybody.
That's the thing, dude. You know, we're very, I don't know the word I'm looking for. We're a selective. We're very selective. Yeah. We want to look, oh, well, it's not for that person.
Yeah.
It's not for that person because I see what they do.
Yeah.
I know who they are.
Yeah.
Right. And then we do it to ourselves, too. I know who I am.
Yeah.
Right? No, that's a lie. Yeah. The enemy has you trapped in a lie.
Yeah.
You better learn to kick that enemy out because that's a lie. He has got you.
That's one of those things that he gets in your head and he stays there rent-free.
Oh, yeah, man. And he's kicking your teeth every time.
He's constantly making you feel that way and have that presumption that. Because I've looked at some people, I'm like, man, there's a special place for you. You
know, I know, right? Like, well, and you know, I feel that way too. Like child molesters and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, dude, absolutely, I feel that way.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, it's not my choice.
Yeah.
It's God's choice.
Yeah. I feel that way about people, you know, people that are like cruel to dogs and cats, like do, like maim them, like totally do, like out of the. I saw a YouTube video. I mean, it's been several years, but a guy picked a pit bull up. They were on top of like a 3 or 4 story building. It sounded like, forgive me if I'm wrong. It sounded like he was speaking Spanish, but I don't speak Spanish, so I can't say for sure, you know. But he picked him up by his tail and his collar and chucked him off the side, and you can just hear this dog yelping the whole way to the ground because I'm sure he's scared to death.
Yep.
And then you just hear the final yelp. And I was like, why? Dude. Yeah,
why?
Like, I mean, who thinks of this? I mean, because all God's creatures are his artwork too. I mean, you every now and then I'll kill a spider and I'm like, ugh.
You know, but I don't like spiders. Here's my thing. I don't think it's wrong to protect yourself.
Not to protect yourself, but I mean, like this dog was just walking around the top of this building, wagging his tail, and that dude just snatches him up by his collar and his tail. And is like, okay.
Why? Why would you do that? I don't understand that either. But it's the same thing. Like, you know, we kill cockroaches and all flies and all those kinds of things, too.
Yeah, those are the ones that I really question. Why did God make that?
flies and mosquitoes, bro. Like, what is their, like, what is a fly's purpose, really, other than to, like, test our patience?
You know, because as it's
all around your head for 4 hours, dude. I don't care who you are there. You don't have enough ninja skills to freaking SWAT one of them if you don't have nothing. Like,
yeah,
if it's just around your face, you are never going to get that thing away from you. You got to wait till it lands, and then you got to have this stick with holes in it. You know what I mean? Or a bug assault gun like I got.
You know, you know, again, it's I don't know. I don't know why I created it. You know what? It has a purpose in its ecosystem. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's really, flies are waste managers. You know what I mean? They eat dead, rotted flesh and all that kind of stuff.
Yucky stuff like maggots and stuff. That's baby flies, essentially.
Yeah.
Are still larvae form.
All disgusting things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, this got way off topic there for a minute. Sorry.
Don't ask me why we ended up there. Yeah, I have no idea.
Well, because me.
Shut up, man. It's not always you. Stop it.
It's usually me.
You know,
I'm usually that guy. I mean,
well, you definitely keep me on my toes. I'll say that. But we were talking about God's creation, right? And that's how it got there, because we're talking about, like, every creature is his creation as well.
Yeah.
And treating an animal in such a way is wrong.
Yeah.
Right? But then we think about things like spiders and snakes and flies.
Where's the line drawn? I mean, I don't typically kill snakes unless it's a rattlesnake and it's close to where human activity is. I mean, if it's out there in the wild, so be it. Go.
If it'll go away, I'm cool.
Yeah.
But if it's like burrowing around my area, it's dead.
When I was at the pit, we'd have some that get up close to the scale house or the office or something like that, and I'd kill them.
They don't know nothing, man. They're just defending themselves, and they're deadly. Yeah. Very deadly. As far as I'm concerned, you're protecting yourself.
I jumped off the back of my truck with a sharpshooter, dude, and missed. Missed. And then I was scrambling. I mean, he was little guy, thank goodness.
Still.
But yeah. I ended up taking about that much, and if anybody could see my fingers, I ended up taking about 6 inches of his body when I tried to cut his head off because he was striking at me.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
Ouch, that is terrifying. I don't like that at all. But, you know, again, they all serve a purpose, but, you know.
Rodent control,
it's all kinds of things, man. We don't know all of that. I don't need to know all of that.
Yeah.
But you're talking about needlessly killing things, like, you know, again, I don't know what cockroaches are here for either. But those sons of guns are hardy.
Can you believe that some people eat those like as a delicacy?
Not cockroaches like we think of. These things are big, dude. Those things are meaty, and they got lots of protein.
Dude, there ain't no way. Can you imagine that initial burst when you bite into it?
Oh.
It's like a rotten, like a
podcast we've done,
like a rotten gusher. just like,
I hope we sufficiently gave everybody that visual in their mind.
Oh man,
I think everybody who listens to this would be like, don't listen to that.
Yeah, my bad.
No, it's cool. It's funny. We got to laugh too, guys. You know, we got to laugh too. Yeah. These are the things that we think about, stupid things like that.
That's you know, 10 times out of 10, when my wife is really getting on to me about something, my brain is going in this direction. Like, I'm thinking about things like this because I don't want to think about me getting scalded. You know, I'm just like, I'm thinking about other things.
Yeah.
My mind will go into some really weird spots.
It is weird, but it's still funny. And it's, again, it's just because we're getting tailed off onto something, right?
Yeah.
It's still part of the conversation, you know. But that's how we work, you know, as people, I think, or, you know, I don't know if it's men or women, or I don't know if it's just everybody in general, but
I wouldn't think that a woman would be thinking, like, some of the thoughts.
No.
We have some.
Not the thoughts we're having, but, you know, that's how a conversation goes. They're going to the different topics same way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And generally speaking, though, it's all centered around
women. I'm going to say something just for comedic relief. Like, I bet my wife is thinking, man, I really need to do the dishes. And
yes. My wife is like,
I got to mop. I got to do, you know, like, she's thinking about cleaning. Like, if I'm scolding her, she's thinking about all the cleaning she's got to do. I don't, because that's just how she is.
I'll tell you what my wife's thinking. I'm ready for bed. Because she is always ready for bed. It doesn't matter. Time, date. If I'm like, oh, I'm going to take a nap, she's like, yay. She's like the little dog. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? Shut up. You know? But yeah. Anyway. You know, I think, too, we were talking about judgment and all this kind of stuff. And, again, I just always caution people to remember that, like, this isn't about perfection, right? Yeah. You if you make the choice, right, that you're gonna follow God, that you're gonna follow Christ, you're gonna believe in Him, and you're gonna accept that His blood is a sufficient enough sacrifice for even your stupidity, then you're on the right path,
yeah.
Right? And there's process involved. You are made new, right? Why? Because you didn't have Christ before, yeah. Right? You're protected now. But in order to fully become a new creation, it's a process.
Yeah.
You don't wait. God didn't create everything in one day.
Yeah.
It took 7 days. 6 days and one rest.
Yeah.
But that time isn't actual, in my mind, it's not actually 6 days, because there's scriptures that say a day is unto 1,000 years and 1,000 years unto a day to God, yeah. Right? It's because He has no timeline. Yeah. He's outside of time.
Yeah, He's not affected by time.
Exactly. He is outside of time. So we say 7 days or 6 days,
yeah,
biblically, but what does that mean to us? That, yeah, could mean 6 million years. I don't know. Again, another question I can't answer.
Yeah.
I don't really care. It really does. I don't know that it matters all that much.
It doesn't matter at all.
I know enough that God spoke it, yeah, into existence, right?
Yeah, it's not like He came with excavators and bulldozers and,
yeah,
started carving the earth. I mean, right. He's like, here you go.
But with us, because He wants real love and real relationship, it's a process.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think we did it, but that YouTube, that one video of that guy when he's got the chisel and he's acting like he's God or whatever to that other guy, they played it at church that one day. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
No, sir.
I don't know if I'll even be able to find it, but it's literally the best interpretation of process that I have ever seen,
yeah,
in my mind, because that's literally how I see it, right? I see God is trying. He is changing us one step at a time, right? This is why everything is about process.
Yeah.
God's masterpiece, God's workmanship. You know what I mean? And look, I know He's God.
Yeah.
And I know that He can do anything He wants to do in a snap, but that's not real. That's superficial. That's created.
Yeah.
Right? You were created to love Him, but you have to submit to it.
Yeah.
He doesn't make you do anything.
Yeah.
Right? So I'll find it, man.
In a sense of time, like when you read in the Bible and stuff, it talks about how, you know, I don't remember who someone is like 300 years old or whatever. I mean, is it just because they had they counted the years differently back then, or did people actually live that long, or they didn't have a way to track the calendar quite like we do?
Yeah.
I mean, is that kind of what is it seasons?
So repeat the question.
So, like, they say they're 300 years old or something. Is that, I mean, how is that going to be?
That's a really good question, and I think we would have to go look into the scripture to find out for sure. Because at some point God changed that a, yeah, man can only live to a certain number now, right?
Yeah.
But before there were no limits. There's a reason, and that's scriptural. I would have to find that. My dad and I have talked about this before. Because, yeah, you know, men live to be 300 years old, you know, and all that, yeah, kind of stuff. But now I think it's 117 or 16 years is the maximum number. You're not going to get past that.
Yeah.
That's the deal. So
he's going to smite the old, he's going to smite you.
I don't know if you want to live to be 116.
I don't want to
be honest with you. But,
no.
Okay, so again, we're going to borrow somebody's work, their content. We've seen it in church. I've seen it on TikTok. I've seen it in a lot of different places. It's going to make me get emotional because this whole thing just kind of, it just really hammers home the idea of process,
yeah,
right? But it's also about submission. How, in order for us to change, right, into this new creation, we got to take steps.
Yeah.
And we have to do part of it. We have to submit to his will, right? Yeah. This is an 11-minute long video, but it's worth every minute, so everybody bear with us. This is by the Skit Guys, and it's God's Chisel. We're not going to watch the commercials, or we're not going to listen to the commercials. So give me a second. It's coming.
A masterpiece. This is the process.
Here it is. Starting now.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be his masterpiece. I want to be everything he created me to be. And so I go to him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your son. Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, yeah. Speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus?
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel,
no,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. Compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust? Well,
time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
Judgment.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then,
That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay.
Yeah.
What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom.
Yep.
Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years, these empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah, but you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
This is a metabolism killer. This
I hate commercials.
Killer, and this is a metabolism killer.
We're not really giving a damn about metabolism.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry.
Hmm.
Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at it as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Very moving.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I talk about this process a lot, and I promise you that I had that thought before I ever saw this video. That's the way I see it. Based on our flagship scripture, Romans 5:3-5, right? It starts with struggle, which teaches us endurance, which teaches us, you know, all these different things, and you earn all those things through those. But I could never articulate it or express it in a way like that, and it's phenomenal, and I appreciate that they have done that, right? Yeah. And I hope that people search it out and look at it. I mean, literally, you don't have to see it to hear it that way. You know what I mean? I don't think you have to see the video.
No, I think if the listeners really want to get the most out of that,
yeah,
definitely watch it, because there's some parts in there when you see the physical anguish that he's that is on his face when he's fixing to have to describe himself or you know.
Well, you can tell that he has literal, real emotion when he's saying these things. Like, it sounds like he's crying when he's reading that. He's not faking that. That's really happening. You know what I mean? Yeah. And there's something to be said about being genuine, which is something that you and I try to be every time we do this. And again, it's not about us, but you know, that gets me bad. I don't shed tears in front of you guys very often, or in front of you very often, but that's one of those that it's hard for me to control that. But it's because I see it that way. I see it that way. You know what I mean? I see myself that way. And I think that it kind of just encompasses the whole conversation we've been having. You know, besides, you know, don't get me wrong, we got off on the tangents and we have funny stuff, and that's okay too, man, because people try to be entertained as well. But I see that part of the conversation about why we don't forgive ourselves, right? Because we look at it as if his blood isn't good enough to cover our failure. And God had an answer for all of it. He has an answer for all of it, right? But again, it comes down to submission.
Yeah.
We talked in one of our conversations about people calling it slavery. No, it's just about submission.
Yeah.
Because it's a better plan. It's a better path.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not about, he's not forcing you to do anything. You don't have to. He's not going to make you. He sure wants you to, because he doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to get where you belong. Right?
Yeah.
So, and every time we get a little closer, every time we make another step, then that's something to be proud of and something to be, you know, to celebrate. You know what I mean? Quit focusing on every time you jack it up and start focusing a little bit more on your successes. You know what I mean? Because every time you say you made a mistake, I guarantee you I could point out 10 others where you did it right or you did a good job. You know what I mean? Same thing for myself. And I think that if we could motivate others to kind of start looking at it in a way like that instead of looking at all the things we've done wrong.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. We should be aware of those things and try to be better. But if we start looking at when we did get it right, and it's not about patting yourself on the back or anything like that. It's just being aware.
Yeah.
And changing your mindset about yourself and changing your mindset about others. Because everybody, the same story. It's the same story for everybody. It's not just about me and you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's about everybody. So,
well,
what else you got, buddy?
That's it.
We didn't talk about baptism.
Yeah. I think we can catch that one on the next one. Okay. We got a couple. I'd like to talk about, get into a little more of the treating others how you want to be treated.
Yeah, golden rule
kind of thing.
Yeah,
I think we could catch that on the next episode.
Okay.
I did want to kind of close off. I have a book sitting in front of me, the best dad jokes ever. And before we got started,
it's a stupid novelty book that I picked up. And let's do it.
I was flipping through it, and one of them kind of come to me. And this one, it's just a dad joke, just nothing really. But, I just ate a frozen pear. Hardcore.
I love it, and I think it's now part of the show. I don't care what anybody says. Okay. Today's bumper sticker wisdom. A man named Jonathan Swift. I don't know who he is. A wise man should have money in his head, but not in his heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. God's word says, it's not money that's evil. It's the love of money.
Yeah.
That's pure evil.
Yep.
So, for Jason and John. We are Bumper Sticker Wisdom. Our email address, if you want to reach out to us, is bswunbound80@gmail.com. bswunbound80@gmail.com. See ya.